Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So with us for a minute, our go-to guy when it comes to these things, he has studied the Constitution. He's big into history. He's big into political science. That would be the Honorable David Yaloff at UConn, chairman of the Political Science Department. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ray.
Okay. You know, ironically, today is the anniversary of the impeachment of Bill Clinton.
History just keeps coming back and biting us, doesn't it?
But okay, let me ask you a question, though. I mean, and one thing that ad nauseum, you were hearing references to the Constitution, even had Democrats going founding fathers. Normally they hate them, but they like them now, or at least some of them do. Was there that much going on? Was it a constitutional issue, as it is claimed to be now? Was it a constitutional issue back during Clinton?
It was a constitutional issue. It can't help but be it, but it's also a political issue. I think people want to think of the Constitution and politics as somehow being separate. But the Founding Fathers, if you want to call them that, were concerned about a president abusing. They were so concerned that when they drew up the language about a Senate trial, they took the Chief Justice and put him in charge because they were worried that a vice president might actually defend the president,
sure,
even when he or she doesn't believe it.
Oh, God. All right. And this has to do primarily, although it's been expanded a bit, with the phone call that was made and the quid pro quo, which has been dropped as a topic, but it is what it was, is that he asked for, you know, I'll give you this money that for your defense if, in fact, you look into the Bidens. Now, I don't know. What do you think of that?
You know, again, we don't have the transcript. We don't have a tape. We have to go with the summary, the whistleblower, everything else. You know, I think that both sides have arguments.
Right.
The Democrats, I think, were really pushed to some extent when they felt that after this had all happened, not only did President Trump say, I disagree that this was even wrong, he called it perfect, and then he continued to deal with Ukraine in this way. You know that Rudy Giuliani is now traveling around Ukraine. I think that was really what pushed the Democrats over the edge.
David, how does this go? But then again, you know, their constituency has been demanding it. In fact, you can go back to the day he was elected, and there were people saying, we're going to impeach this guy sooner or later by hook or by crook. We're going to figure out a way to do this. But, I mean, how does this vary? Because, I mean, a lot of I'm sure Obama did it. I'm sure Clinton did it. I'm sure Nixon did it. You know, I'll give you this if you'll give me that. Is that what we're talking about here? I mean, really?
You know, it's hard to say. Again, that's the language, quid pro quo. I think that what separates this from past times is not only the extreme vitriol and of the partisanship itself.
Oh, God,
I mean, that is, I think that the lack of serious language, the screaming on the House floor, that seemed to be missing in the Clinton situation, certainly, even in the Nixon situation.
Yeah, let's go back to that. They were actually reasonably civil to each other.
I think there was a sense of the solemnity of the process. I think there were always going to be people who and congressmen who screamed to the hills. But I think there was a true solemnity of the process. I think that the Trent Lott and Daschle worked with each other much more than I think McConnell and Schumer will be able to do it. Partisanship is just so extreme right now. It's hard to imagine how this process will somehow get serious.
As someone who's studied political science your entire academic career, let's take a look at, you know, is this, once again, kind of back to something you mentioned in passing a second ago, is it because you're televising the House of Representatives? What is it that gets people, you know, fired up to put on a show?
You know, there's so many different factors. There's gerrymandering, which has created so many safe districts.
Right.
The only thing 90% of congressmen worry about is being primary. And that pushes everybody either to the right or the left. What we don't have are kind of those voices in the middle. Southern Democrats, Northeastern Republicans.
Right, right.
I mean, we just don't have that anymore. And so there's nowhere to turn other than the occasional Joe Manchin.
And I think actually, had you voted, and of course there was a lot of pressure, for example, a number of the Democrats had been elected in a Trump district, so to speak, when it came to the president, presidential election. But, you know, they were in a kind of difficult position because they're saying, okay, I'm going to vote for this, but I'm in a district where Trump was victorious. So now what happens? This got to be tough for those guys.
Yeah, they're in a complete political bind, Ray. You're exactly right. If they turn against their party and don't vote for impeachment, then they probably will be primary. They'll have a lot of trouble keeping their seat from that way. Now they're going to have to go to the constituency in the general election and say, look, I voted to impeach because it was wrong, but I also knew he'd be acquitted. They're going to have to play this kind of halfway game, and that's what they're hoping that they can pull off.
David, what are we looking at? First, 2 weeks of January, although I'm hearing talk that some Nancy Pelosi, case in point, wants to kind of hold off this thing for a while.
Yeah, that is a very interesting development. I think that she's really trying to highlight the language from McConnell, that he's working with the White House, that he's not impartial at all. She wants to kind of play this up by saying, well, maybe I won't name House managers and send the articles to them right away.
I don't think
anybody thinks she can sit on it forever, but I think she wants to highlight that. And so I wouldn't be surprised if she holds off naming House managers till maybe mid-January.
Yeah, and let me just very quickly, earlier this morning, I came across a story, and apparently Adam Schiff is saying, okay, if we get Trump, and then Pence becomes president, we also have evidence that he may have been involved in this, so we're going to go after him, too. So what are you looking at, President Pelosi? I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, we saw how long this process takes, and also what we've seen with Nixon, with Clinton, with everybody else is there seems to be complete exhaustion at the end of
the process,
even with acquittal. This is probably the end. Once the Senate moves to its acquittal stage, I don't think there's going to be much more talk of impeachment through the November election. I think the public is really, even on both sides,
tired of it.
Very exhausted at this point.
Yeah, I was looking at the ratings for, like, I don't know how C-SPAN does, but I know MSNBC and CNN, their numbers were not all that high during all the hearings. Fox did all right, but that's what you would expect. So I find this rather interesting, actually. Seems like a lot of people, I'm just tired, you know? I'm just tired.
Well, there's not a lot of drama. We know what's going to happen long in advance. It has all the unpredictability of a Thanksgiving birthday parade. I mean, we know when it's going to happen. Yeah. We know the day. We know the time. We know what balloons are going to go up there. This is becoming the equivalent of a political convention where we know what's going to happen. And so ratings are down for that. They're down for this as well.
Yeah. Hey, David, it's great to talk to you. I hope you have a great holiday season. And I'm sure we'll speak again, if it's okay with you, after the first of the year.
Anytime, Ray. Take care. Have a good holiday.
Thank you. That's David Yaloff, chairman of the Department of Political Science at the University of Connecticut. So there you go. Always a common sense kind of. He and Lightman are both very commonsensical. So I like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.